All right, today being the 11th day of January 2026, I want to begin this new lesson. It's entitled Controversy and Confrontation. Controversy and Confrontation. Now, we're going to be in the book of John, chapter number 5 today. We're going to begin here, and I just want to cover some things. Our theme verse here today is from John chapter 6, verse 51. And Jesus said this. He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And I want to ask you today, we watched in the film yesterday, and when the lady asked the lady that was going to be selling her house if she went to church, "Do you go to church regularly?" And she said, I go occasionally. And she looked at her real bluntly and she said, "Is that because your preacher only preaches occasionally or what?" And I thought, boy, that's a good response. Amen. But you know what? Sometimes we get used to the blessings of God. We get used to having a good church that preaches the gospel and stands for truth and righteousness. We get used to the man of God being faithful and here every week. And sometimes we get too used to it, I really believe we get too used to things. And we get neglectful. We forget what God has done. And we kind of use God then as a spare tire. We just throw him in the back and say, "Well, Lord, everything's going great right now. If I need you, I'll call you." And so I wanted to ask this question today, and I put it in the lesson bulletin. But this thought we need to think about. Am I using God as a spare tire? Or am I allowing him to be my all-weather tire? "I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee," the songwriter said. And you know, I thought this morning as we sang that song, "Set My Soul Afire." I want my soul to be set on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a used-to-be. I don't want to be one of these that said, "Well, I used to serve the Lord, but," okay? I want to be found faithful. And you know, I was thinking, before I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was hungering. Literally, folks, I'm telling you, as a young boy, I was hungering for somebody to just love me, to just care for me. My folks, and I love them, my dad, he adopted me, gave me his name, let me keep my middle name, Ray. And but they were always fussing and fighting. Just always fussing and fighting about things, money and things. I guess maybe that's why I just haven't had a real care for having a lot of things in my life. Because I found out that things don't satisfy. You can die with all the toys that you can have, but if you die without Jesus, you're still lost and you're going to hell. And folks, I remember before, you know, they finally divorced, my parents were always fighting, and it just seemed like I just wanted somebody to love me and care for me. Just tell me that I wasn't the problem. You know, if the kids weren't here, we wouldn't have all these problems and all this other stuff. And you hear that all the time, and you just get to the point you just don't know what to do. And I never will forget, because of all that was going on in my life, I began to look for ways to be happy. And I could find things that would satisfy for a little while. I told you last week about the Tar Heel UFO study group, okay? That's like one of these nut job cases around here today. But you know what, boy, we met. Man, we'd get out in the yard. We'd look at things at night. I mean, you could see all kinds of things in the sky at night. And it was just crazy. But I remember it seemed like there was just that glass that had a hole in the bottom of it inside my chest. And I was always trying to fill it up. And I could fill it up. It didn't stay there for a little while, but pretty soon it would just seep back out that hole. And pretty soon I was looking for something else to satisfy. And I was headed in the wrong direction. And you know what? I never got in with the guys that were drinking because I saw what that did in people's lives. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. The smoking and all this other garbage and everything that went on, I just didn't want to be a part of that stuff. It just, it was embarrassing the way they acted and people did things, and you just didn't want to be a part of it. And I didn't want that stuff, but I just didn't have a place to seem like I could fit in. You know what I'm saying? You just didn't have a place where you could fit in. Until that Sunday school bus came by and I started going to church on Sunday. And I got to find out that Jesus really was the bread of life. He was that well of living water that would spring up in your soul. And man, when he came in my heart and saved me, it was like he just put that same glass right underneath his fountain. And even though it seemed like it seeped out at the bottom, it just kept overflowing. And he just keeps it filled all the time. And the day I got saved, Jesus became that living bread. And you know, today, what I want to do for the Lord is to keep telling folks about Christ. Because I know what he did for me. And I know what he can do for anybody else that'll be willing to turn their heart and their life over to him. And you know what? That comes to where we come in this life, we have controversy and we'll have confrontation. And you're going to have that no matter where you go, no matter what you stand for. You're going to have controversy. You're going to have confrontation. But you know what? The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. He said, "Thy word," talking about the word of God, "thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And you know what? It has been exactly that. And God's word has been my help. And as John wrote in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we looked at this several weeks ago. He described Jesus as being that great light. You remember that? He wrote there in verse 4 and 5, he said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." I was stumbling in darkness, folks. I was lost. I was without Christ. I didn't know which way to go. Stumbling over this and stumbling over that and fumbling around trying to find something to satisfy. Kind of sounds like that woman at the well we studied about last week, right? When Jesus said, "Bring your husband with you." "Well, I have no husband." And Jesus said, "Honey, you're right about that. You've had five of them, and the guy you're living with now, he's not even your husband." She said, "Man, you're a prophet." And you know what? Christ knew everything. All about her. He knows all about you. He knew all about me. And Christ is the one that satisfies. He's the one that shone that light of the gospel into my heart and my life and gave me something worth living for. And I praise him for that today. And you know, as we look at this lesson, I want there to be an understanding in our hearts today. There are going to be controversies that come up in life. You know, the world is not going to agree with anything we've got to say about Jesus. We see that all around us today. And that's going to lead to confrontation, okay? But I'd rather stand for Jesus than to fall for the devil's tactics. And you know what? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I'm glad I'm standing on the rock today. Amen? I want us to look at this lesson. And I want us to look at this thing today with the understanding that when controversy comes, there's going to come confrontation as well. But knowing Christ is the answer. He's the one that's going to see you through. Now, I want us to look today at beginning here in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 47. We see the controversy that came up in Jerusalem. I'm not going to take time to read all of these verses. By the way, I'm not going to get finished with this lesson today, okay? I already know that, okay? I already know it. So I just want to give you something good, okay? I want you to get this. I want it to sink in your heart. As we begin this new year, I mean, we're at the 11th of the month already. Yes. This week we'll be halfway through it, and we just got started. Yeah. Our time is running out. It's running by quickly. And folks, here in these verses, verse number 1, we see that Jesus left Cana there in Galilee to go up to Jerusalem. And most likely it was to observe the Passover that was there. And while he was there, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. Okay? Now for the Jews, that was against the law. Boy, you didn't do anything on the Sabbath day. Okay? But Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day, and this great miracle caused the Jews to just become angry, full of wrath toward him because he did this on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. This man was healed. He was able to walk. He had been laying there for all these years. Nobody cared enough for his soul, okay, to put him into the pool to supposedly get healed by that angel that they all thought was going to heal him. Nobody had any concern for him, but then they got concerned because he got up, walked, and carried his bed back home. They weren't happy about what had happened. That's crazy. Man, you know what? When we have folks in here that come to the altar, and we have some folks that we're dealing with and our soul winners are dealing with and trying to help them to come to know Christ as our Savior, and folks are having to wait a little longer than after 12 o'clock, man, I hope you don't get upset and mad and things about that, because God's doing a work. That's what, listen, the whole time that the preacher preaches is important, but there is nothing as important as the invitation time. And everything is done, the music, the announcements, the offering, the preaching, everything that's done prior to that invitation, it's all done for one purpose. And that is to get the message of the gospel to those that are lost so that they can come and get their heart right and get saved. And so the invitation time, as far as I'm concerned, is the most important time of that service. Most important time when God is dealing with hearts. And man, God dealt with this man. And I want you to look at it with me here. We're going to look. The miracle is seen right here in chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. John chapter 5, verse 1 through 18. I want you to see the cure. What happened here? Verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They're waiting for a miracle. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now think about this, folks. The folks that are laying around that pool, look at it. They're impotent folks. Okay, they're not able to get around on their own. Some are blind. Some are halt. That means they can't walk. Some are withered. Their bodies are drawn up. Okay? Maybe they had strokes or you know, cerebral palsy or something. I don't know. But their bodies were withered. And they're all waiting for a miracle. And there's multitudes. Multitudes describes a number of people that cannot be numbered. That's a lot of people waiting for a single miracle. You know what? There's a lot of people in our world today walking around lost. They're withered by sin. They're halt. They're blind. They're waiting for some kind of a miracle. And what they need is the miracle of some soul or some born-again child of God to come up to them and say, hey, you know what? If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? No. Well, no, I don't know that. Well, could I show you? Well, yeah, I'd like to know that. Dr. Earl Flick, you know Brother Earl. He usually sits back here in the back. He has Parkinson's disease. And he's really been suffering with it. And he usually in January, he goes down, he and Karen go down to Ruskin, Florida, and they camp out because it's warm. They take their dog and he gets out of the weather because the weather's bad for him. And he goes down and stays through February, comes back in the February, and he's here the first part of March. And he was in the hospital this week. He had some kind of a bowel obstruction. They were looking to do surgery. And they got him in there, and they found a doctor there in Ruskin that would treat him based on his Parkinson's, because some of this could be Parkinson's related. And they didn't want to go in and rush in and do some kind of unnecessary surgery. And they worked with him. And while he was there, they put one of the nose things down and draining fluids off of him and all this stuff and going through each way to remove the things that they needed to remove. And while he was in there, a nurse came in and he began to talk to her. And while he was there in that room with her, he had the opportunity to lead that nurse to Christ. Now, I talked to Brother Earl this morning. Early this morning, I called him and checked on him and make sure he wasn't still in the hospital. He said, Brother, he said, it was a miracle. God took care of the blockage. It's gone. He said, I don't even know why the Lord sent me to the hospital. I said, I know why. Because there was somebody there that needed to hear the message. And you got to share it with her. And he said, you know what? She was really excited about the gospel. And he said, I just praise the Lord. He said, it was worth being in the hospital to share the message of the gospel with her. Folks need the Lord. As John continues to write here, he said, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. For 38 years, this man had been sick, unable to walk. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, it didn't say the next week. It didn't say after you send $20 and you get your prayer cloth back. It said, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Now, in this story, John is describing what happened to this man. And it's a notable miracle. This man was impotent. He was not able to walk. He was not able to get around. He was lame. And according to verse number 5, this man had been ill and unable to walk for some 38 years. Think about that. 38 years. Now, I don't know how old a man he was, but 38 years to be sick is a long time. But in verse number 6, Jesus asked him that question, wilt thou be made whole? And it's interesting to me that Jesus asked this man if he really wanted to be healed. He asked him, do you want to be healed? You know, the Lord Jesus never forces himself on anybody. He never forces himself. But he wanted to know, would you be willing to be made whole today? Are you tired of this type of lifestyle? Are you tired of this? Would you like to be made whole? And the guy comes up in verse number 7, and the answer is, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. In other words, what the man was saying, he said, sir, I have no man that cares enough for me to help me. I have nobody that cares. Nobody here to help me. No one from any of the religious do-good, feel-good organizations there was available to help him. Nobody took the time to look at the man's needs and try to do anything to help him. And you know, isn't it sad to realize that there are lots of religious organizations today. They're feeding folks, they're clothing them, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not fussing about that. I've thought about going down there myself and getting a new suit. I don't know. I'd like to get one, okay? But But you know what? If a man dies with a new suit and his belly full and he's still lost, he still goes to hell. Amen. And he needs to be born again. He needs to be saved. So in verse number 8, look what Jesus did. He just looks at the man and he said, "Rise." Now, let me say something. That would have taken faith. I remember when I had my hip surgery. You know, that's coming up 2 years now in April. Good grief. It seems like it was yesterday. Still feels like it was yesterday, a couple days, every day. But listen, I remember when that lady came in and she said, "Now, you got to get up out of this bed and you got to walk before you can go home." I said, "Today?" "I just had surgery." She said, "Well, you got to get up." And it, let me tell you, it was not immediate, okay? All right? It took me a little time to do that. And they helped me with it. But Jesus looked at this man and he gave him a command. He said, "Now rise, get up, walk, take up your bed and walk." And immediately, the Bible said, the man was made whole. The cure was immediate. The cure was complete. And then look at this. This is where the controversy started. "And he took up his bed and walked." The cure was controversial in the eyes of the religious crowd. They got upset because he took up his bed and walked. And you know what? That's a sad situation. And look at the consequences that of what happened here in this situation. Look at it. Verse number 9. The Bible said, "And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, 'It's the Sabbath. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.' He answered them, 'Well, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk.' Then then asked they him, 'What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?' And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus was conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, 'Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee.' The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." You know what? The Jews knew who Jesus was. Jesus told them. And you know what? The angels told the shepherds. They told Joseph. His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was here. Now imagine the scene here at the Pool of Bethesda. There's this tremendous multitude. There's this tremendous crowd of people all there. The people see and they hear Jesus' conversation with this one impotent man that no one else seemed to care anything about. No one cared for him. No one cared for his soul. No one cared for his problem. Jesus healed that impotent man. And when he healed him by commanding him to rise and take up his bed and walk, that's where everyone there at the pool could see it, okay? Including the Jewish leaders, they all saw it. Verse 10 said, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, 'It is the Sabbath day, and it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.'" They were more concerned with keeping the law than they were for the man in need. And folks, you know what? We don't want to fall into that situation. I don't want to fall into the situation where there's not time to meet the need of the people that need to hear the gospel. Folks need the Lord today. And you know what? We need to take the message to him, to them. Every person needs to know. Why could they not be happy and rejoice that this poor man who had been sick for some 38 years, laying there, an impotent man, not able to do anything, why would they not care for his soul? The Bible says in the next few verses that after this impotent man explains to them why he's doing what he's doing, the Jews then questioned him, again there in verse number 12. They ask him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" In other words, who told you to break the law? Who told you to do what we've said you can't do? And this poor man didn't know who it was that healed him. It was just by faith that he trusted the man's words. Isn't that how you got saved? I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know who he was. I just trusted his word. As a matter of fact, when I got up off my knees the first time, I thought, boy, I was going to feel all these skyrockets going off and all this stuff. I didn't feel a thing. And you know what I thought? I thought, man, I must have done all this wrong. So I sat back down on that bed and went through that New Testament all over again. And went through the whole thing again. And I got on my knees the second time. And I prayed and I said, "Dear Lord, I don't know if I'm doing this right or not. But God, your word tells me that if I will repent of my sin and place my faith and trust in you to save me, then you'll do that. And I'm just going to trust your word." And it was not until I took my bath that Friday night. And I've told you this. I was scrubbing out that tub with the toilet brush. I never will forget. I didn't know, you know, it cleaned the commode. It cleaned the toilet. It's just a cleaning thing, you know. It took the ring out. And as I'm watching that dirty ring go down the drain, it's like the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart and said, "That's what I've done with your sins. They're gone. You'll never see them again." And the joy of the Lord flooded my heart and my soul. And you know what? I swore. I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell anybody about this." But the more I got into the Word of God, and the more the Word of God got in me, the more I couldn't help but want to tell folks about Jesus. And He doused me with a dose that can't help it. And man, I've been that way ever since. I just want everybody to know what Christ can do for me. And this man, when he found out who it was that did this, he went and told the Jews. He's thinking, "Well, man, maybe they'll be excited about this thing." And guess what? They weren't excited. And folks, there are churches around here everywhere. Now, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just stating the fact. There's probably 30 churches or so in this area. And if you start talking to them about salvation or about Jesus, some of them get offended in that. And they've told us, "Well, you can't be out here confrontational stuff like this. You can't just ask people if they're sinners and tell them they're going to go to hell if they die. Why? What are they going to think?" I said, "Well, I'm hoping they'll think about it and not want to go to hell. That's what we're, you know, that's what we're doing this for." You know, Brother Dave and him were walking down the sidewalk Thursday night trying to tell folks about Jesus, pass out gospel tracts. And some of those folks didn't want to have nothing to do with any of that stuff. They didn't want to hear anything. But some folks got saved. And listen to me today, people. There's going to be controversy. And there's going to be confrontation. But we got to be ready to stand up for truth and for righteousness and to love these folks. Look at this man again, among the multitudes. And he felt like nobody cared for his soul. And how many of us probably have some neighbors, probably have some folks we work with, probably some folks you've met at school or wherever you go, they're looking for something to satisfy. And what they need, I think about Brother Earl there in the hospital. Man, he's thinking, "Man, I'm going to have a surgery here. Lord, I don't understand this." And when Karen called me about it, she's telling me, she said, "Please pray that he doesn't have the surgery. Please pray that he doesn't have to go through this." I said, "We'll pray right now." I prayed with them both on the phone. And he said, when he finished praying, he said, "Oh, I wanted to tell you." He said, one of the nurses came in and put this NG tube down or something and helped out with all that stuff. He said, "I got to talking to her and tell her I was a Christian." And he said, "I got to lead her to Christ." And she trusted Jesus as her Savior. I said, "Brother Earl, God's got you there for a reason. You trust Him. You just trust Him. And God's going to bless it. God's going to take care of it." And today when I called him, he's out and about back camping with Karen and the dog. Amen. They're out there camping down where it's warm now. Listen, verse 14 and 15, when this man finds out who it was that healed him, he told those Jewish leaders, and they all got upset. And I want you to look down there where it says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. My goodness. What a sad time. And you know what? We're living in a sad day today when the world doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They've forgotten the blessings of God. We're getting ready to celebrate 250 years of freedom and independence in this country. And our nation has forgotten where God brought us from. And folks, it's a sad day. But they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the message. They need to know that God cares for their soul. They're out here seeking and looking for anything and everything to satisfy. And they're not finding it where they're looking. And what they need is somebody to care for their soul and give them the message. And in verses 19 through 47, we see the message that Jesus gives in these verses from verses 19 through 47. And if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you that message. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's pray just a minute. Father, I look at this lesson and I'm reminded, dear God, of where you found me as a 15-year-old boy. And Lord, I'm so thankful, God, that you love me. And Lord, I was just one little fella amongst a multitude of kids on a Sunday school bus. But God, you reached down and you cared for me and you saved my soul. And Father, I'm thankful for that today. And Lord, I just want to be a help and a blessing to your people today. I want to encourage them, Lord, to understand that there's going to be controversy. And Lord, as the day draws closer and closer to your coming again, Lord, the controversies are going to arise from every which direction. And Lord, those controversies are going to cause confrontation. But help us, Lord, to be willing to be grounded in the Word, to be prayed up and powered by your precious Word, that we might be able to share the message that they need to hear, and that being that Jesus is the living bread. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll use us in this new year to make a difference in the lives and the hearts of people that we come in contact with. Father, please help us today. Use us, Lord, as your dear children to take the message of the gospel to where it needs to be heard. And Lord, I pray that folks will be saved. Father, bless our pastor now as he gets to preach in just a few moments. Empower him, Lord, today. And strengthen him, Lord. And God, will thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.